And the worst thing you want to do when handling an objection is go feature benefit, because people become product pushers and not problem solvers.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Ben Bressington. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Ben. One, he gets paid to hack humans as a social engineer. Two, Ben is the CEO of Behavior Sales, a leading personality intelligence company. And three, if you want to have more influence, persuasion, or close deals faster, then you'll love listening to this program. Ben Bressington, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Delighted to have you joining us here today. And of course, I want some of that. If you can help us close deals, close sales faster, then let's talk about that. Tell us, where do we start?
Well, let's talk about some of the biggest mistakes people make when they go into a sales presentation. And let's face it, the world of sales and communication has changed. And one of the things I want to point out real quick is that a lot of sales training and conversations is actually built on an old sales model. Consumer behavior has changed. And most people forget that. Like, if you actually look into the history of the AIDA model, A-I-D-A, which is what a lot of people have been taught, they've heard it before, attention, interest, desire, action, right? Do you know when that model was created, George?
I don't. I'm guessing, I don't know, in the 50s or the 40s?
If you're saying 1850s, yeah, it was in like 1848, right? That's when that model was created, right? Over 100 years ago, right?
Okay, so I was 100 years off with my guess.
So the thing is it was designed for a different type of consumer behavior. And one of the things is you need to understand what we call sales resistance. And a lot of the things people are doing in today's communication is creating unintended resistance. Hence, you get ghosted. Hence, people go, hey, that sounds interesting. Will you send me a flyer? Will you send me an email? That's them brushing you off, because what's going to happen next? They're going to ghost you, right? So the thing is people need to be aware of the words they're saying, how they're saying it, because you're actually creating subconscious emotional resistance, which we call sales resistance, and therefore you're actually sabotaging your own sales. You can do this with body language and you can do it linguistically. And that's why we're sharing so much about behavioral intelligence and how this has really changed. Like, there's the old school of selling, and now there's the new school of selling, which actually uses data to actually provide people with a feedback loop on how to improve their communication. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm curious, are you looking at face-to-face selling, or are you looking at online selling, or both?
It's both. It actually works exactly the same. And we're noticing that there's a lot of the linguistic patterns are actually leading from online to offline, because now, like ever before, people can actually Google you, find everything they out about you and your product from a Google search. And I want to address something real quick. There's two types of salespeople, right? There's the salesperson who's the order taker, who couldn't sell themselves out of a wet paper bag. And that person, unfortunately, is also the same person who they spend less than $100 a year on being a sales professional. Right? This person doesn't use a script. They fly by the seat of their pants. They don't understand how to handle an objection. And the worst thing you want to do when handling an objection is go feature benefit, because people become product pushers and not problem solvers. The second part is the sales professional, who this person invests like a sports athlete on improving their performance. They understand and they analyze every conversation they have. They record their conversations to listen to calls that worked. And then they try to work out what worked, why it worked. People in the marketing world don't do this well enough either, because the thing is they'll write content pieces and they go, we had 300 likes. So what? How did that further the engagement? We talk to a lot of people about personality. It's just like, what's interesting is you create a content piece that's written by a certain personality type that attracts a certain personality type that gets in front of your salesperson who's a different personality type. And then there's this like what we call a cockfight, because we use the analogy of the four birds. So the thing is you got this bird conflict because you got this eagle trying to sell this dove. And as a result, like they just aren't in sync. And then people go, the leads suck. Well, it's not the leads that suck. It's just we're forgetting how to engage and connect with people. And we don't know how to actually ask emotional based questions to find the real cause of the problem. Does that make sense, George?
It does. And naturally, I'm curious about if the danger is creating this, setting up this personality conflict, what can a seller do to perhaps attract the right people or be in the right mindset?
100% right. So one of the things you want to be aware of is what is your personality style? And one of the things like we can actually measure linguistically, right? That's the word you say if you have influence over the person you're speaking to based on how they're communicating back. Like there's over 100 different variables we can actually measure and prove to actually show, did you have influence? Were you speaking too analytically to them, which you overwhelmed them so they weren't able to make a decision? And the thing is the best thing you can actually do, right, if we step back, is understand what your personality style is and be able to identify the four other personality styles. And from that, be able to actually morph your personality to give the person you're communicating with what they need. The biggest mistake salespeople make nowadays is actually communicating the way they want or the way they speak, which means they're connecting with one in four people, if they're lucky, right? So that's one of the big mistakes that a lot of people make, because they approach every sale super excited. And the thing is we're actually seeing research that your excitement is actually causing resistance and doubt in the person you're talking to. But for years, many a sales trainer said, be excited, your energy will rub off on them and your excitement will push them into the sale. And remember, there's two types of sales we want to talk about. There's the externally motivated, which is old school selling. And then there's internally motivated, which is actually having the person you're communicating with understand what their problems are and understand that you can solve it. And they persuade themselves to work with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, Ben, let's say here I am trying to sell something to you. How do I discover, well, first of all, my own personality style, and then the greater challenge, how do I figure out what yours is so that I'm speaking the right language?
Well, how about I give you the four minute crash course on what the four personality types are, right? And you'll actually learn more in the next 4 minutes than you will have in any personality test you're ever done. And that's my promise to you. So what I call this is I call it the bird behaviors, and there's four birds. So first of all, we have Vegas the peacock, and I call this bird Vegas because it's just like Vegas. It's lights, glitz, and glamour. This person wants to be famous. They hate being bored, right? So this person is all about achievement, recognition, praise, applause, status. They hate being criticized. They take any form of criticism personally. I'm sure you can start to think of a few of these people, right? And the other thing is this person's always got a story. They want to tell your story. They'll interrupt your story to tell their story. Have you ever been around the dining room table at a time and you know that person, right?
Yep. So, I can picture the Vegas. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the peacock, right? And then on the flip of that, we've got the eagle. Right. And I call Liberty the eagle because just like Liberty, it's all about freedom and power and choice. Right. This person wants to be the boss. They want to be in control. They hate losing. This person wants achievement, authority, and they're just like an eagle because from a mile away, they can set their target. They hone in on it and nothing else matters. They don't care if they're going to piss you off. They don't care if they're going to rub you the wrong way, because you know what? They're about the results. They're about the ROI. Can you picture a few of those people?
I can, definitely.
All right. So what are the two birds I've mentioned so far, George?
We've got a peacock and we've got an eagle. I'm wondering what the next one is.
See, you're not just a pretty face, right? Like you're even remembering this stuff.
Didn't even know I was a pretty face.
All right. So the next one we've got is what I call the pigeon or the dove. And one of the things you want to think about with the pigeon is just like the pigeons in a park, these are a flock animal. They're also very flighty. Like a small noise will make this person scramble and scatter. And just think of it, right? This person wants to be your friend. They hate taking risks. So they hate rejection. They want security. They want to belong. They want a quiet place. They want peace. This is the type of person you can never take to the Cheesecake Factory, because the Cheesecake Factory has 500 items on their menu. All right. And the thing is this person won't decide what they want. They're looking around the restaurant. Like even deciding where to eat is problematic. Like the eagle goes, let's go have tacos. And the pigeon is sitting there going, well, I don't know, tacos. I had tacos 2 weeks ago and I might be having tacos like for Taco Tuesday next week. And like, they're giving you the runaround of everything they've had. Like, and when you get to the restaurant, the waiter comes to them, right? And what do they do, George? They tell the waiter, like, hey, come back to me in a second. Let me see what everybody else is ordering. Let me look at the three other dishes that are just coming around me right now. And oh, that person over there has got something interesting, right? And the waiter comes back and they're like, oh, there's just so many choices, right? Do you know any of those people, George?
I do. And I'm certainly not one of those.
Exactly.
I always right? go, so I always just, I know what I'm going to order and I order it.
Exactly. And then the last bird we've got is we've got the owl, right? This person is the thinker. This person wants to be right rather than rich, right? And so they want security. They want structure. This person loves systems. They love rules. They want law and order, and they want life to be predictable. They hate salespeople. They hate pressure. And this is literally the only personality style that tells you when they want to think about it. They literally want to think about it. They want to actually read the white papers. They want to do the research. They want to watch the 100 testimonial videos. They want to understand every competitor, and they're going to come back to you with a list of questions that they're going to expect you to have a PhD to be able to answer.
Have you experienced guilty, guilty. Guilty, guilty.
Exactly, right? So tell me the four birds again.
We've got the peacock, we've got the eagle, and dove or pigeon, and the owl.
Exactly. So which one are you?
I'm definitely the owl. As soon as you talked about the thinker and systems and questions and research, yep, that's me.
So what's interesting about it is when communicating with you, for example, I need to slow down. I need to be aware of my pace, because if I'm too pushy, I come off as arrogant. The other thing is I know communicating with you, I want to give you lists. There's three steps we're going to be talking about today, George. One, two, three. And if I don't complete all three, it drives you nuts. Is that right?
You got it. Yes. Yeah. You tell me there's a list of three and you only tell me two. I'm wondering, well, what's the other one? What's the other one?
Well, stay tuned. And after the commercial, we'll talk about that. No. So now you know the birds. Which bird am I?
I would say the eagle.
Very good. So there's a dominant and a secondary personality type for everybody. And the thing is that's what you want to be aware of when you're talking with personality types, because you could be one personality style when you're talking about business, but when you're talking about finance or family, or you got a couple, you got to be aware of that. There's a primary and a secondary personality type. So you're not just a one size fits all, but you're actually got adaption. So one of the things is now you can literally look at somebody. And one of the things that's really exciting with this is we actually created an AI that actually can take somebody's email address or can take somebody's LinkedIn profile and convert it into a personality type without them answering any questions. We analyze everything they've said, all that type of stuff on their profiles. So when you go to talk to them, you go, hey, I know Ben's an eagle. Hey, I know George is an owl, or I know George is backed up with a peacock, right? So he does that. So the thing is now you know how to engage with them, and you can change your style. You can adapt. You can understand what their decision-making process. You can understand what their motivations are and how to thoroughly connect with that person and ask the right questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds powerful, Ben.
So based on that, how do you think just that information alone could help you in your sales process?
Well, I think it would definitely help. It would definitely help if in terms of understanding that the same sales process doesn't work for every person. And even though you've got to get through that process, there's different questions are different. Maybe it's just different ways we listen to the person too. How some words will trigger, aha, that confirms what I thought, therefore I'll go in that direction.
100%. You're 100% right. And that's one of the things you want to be aware of. And one of the things we've noticed is if you use consultative selling, right? We've noticed that a lot of consultative selling is asking logical-based questions, which get a logic answer. And in today's society, people are looking for emotional engagement. So the question then becomes is, in your sales script, how do you ask emotional questions that create persuasion rather than create sales resistance? Because we've all heard the question, what are the three things that keep you awake at night, right? When hearing that as a buyer now, what does that do to you, right?
It's, oh no, not this nonsense again.
Yeah. And because what's the salesperson doing? They're sitting there listening to the three things. They're only really shallowly listening. They're not really, really actively listening, because what they're going to then do is they're going to hear one of the two things and they're going to pounce with the features and the benefits, and they're going to kind of ram that down. Because what they're using is they're using that old style of sales communication where it's externally motivation, time pressure, end of month coupon or incentive and discount. And it's just this kind of pressure all the way through, which is hard for all of us now. And like, it's not what people want. So the thing is the key to persuasion is actually asking emotionally driven questions that have your prospect persuade themselves. So for example, I'll give you a very simple one, which we call a solution style question, right? Which is literally asking the prospect, what are you doing now? Or how long have you been doing this? Or experiencing this? Because what you're actually asking them to do is start to tell you more about the problem they're experiencing and the pain points for them. And let me give you a quick script question that anyone could use if they generate leads online, or if they just got a referral or something like that. You know, I got a hot lead you need to call. And you call that person and they're like, oh, I wasn't really interested in it. Well, like, and you're like, bloody hot lead. Like, right? So the thing is here's a fantastic question to dive deep into the emotion and start to get into that quickly. Are you ready for that?
Let's go.
So I'd go, hey, George, have you found what you're wanting, or are you still looking for ways to improve your sales?
That's an intriguing question. Have you found what you wanting, or are you still looking for ways to improve yourself? So now,
I said sales. So are you still looking for ... So are you still looking for how to improve your medical, or are you still looking for insurance options, right? Because I'm not assuming. And the thing is pay attention to the tonality and the pauses and things you put into it, because tonality can be anywhere from 50 to 80% of your communication style. Something you really want to be aware of. Let's role play that question again, right? Hey, George, have you found what you're wanting, or are you still looking for a sales improvement solution?
I'm still looking.
So I'm just curious, what was it about the ad that you saw online that attracted your attention?
Well, I'm interested in improving results, and I want to see if your solution is the best option for me.
Yeah. So see, I'm not talking about the weather. I don't have to be talking about the weather. I can literally jump onto a call and like ask that. And I've already got some real questions. And I start just diving deeper and trying to talk emotionally. So the thing is, as you go into what we call the next stage of that, so we go connecting, then we go into situation. And then that's when we start to understand like what's really the problem. Because I need you. So I need you to tell me your problem, to become aware of your problem, and understand that, do you actually want to have a change? It's not about me telling you. It's I need you to actually see it and communicate it. And the only way for you to persuade yourself internally is for you to say the words. So it's kind of like think of it as a bowling conversation. Like I'm trying to set up the bumpers on the side of the 10-pin bowling, right? So I'm trying to get you to the end. And you know what? I'm actually sitting here going a little bit skeptical. I'm sitting here a little bit, okay, that's it. And I'm like, I've given up the thought of, hey, I got to close this deal, because They feel that. You can actually emotionally feel that in the conversation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've seen where a salesperson gets cocky, over assuming too much. And when that happens, I just want to back off.
Yeah. One of the best questions you can ask if you get something from somebody is, they go, like, you could tell me that you're pretty happy with whatever. You're, oh, I'm happy with my marketing right now, and I'm really not interested, right? And I call that kind of the two truths. They're kind of telling you a partial truth, right? And the average salesperson will go, yeah, but we're the best. We just got this award or whatever, right? No one gives a damn, right? So the thing is, here's a little objection rebuttal that you can use. You can go, George, it sounds like things are going well for you. If there was anything you would change about your existing sales process, if you could, what would it be?
Ah, now that's an interesting question. So that is a powerful question. In there, you're actually conceding or agreeing with the person, saying, sounds so, from what you're telling me, it sounds like everything's going well. But what if now you allow them to think about, well, you know, there's this one part of my operation, there's this one part of our marketing, there's this one part of our sales that I would like to get better results. So now you get the person and telling you, well, here's the one thing I would improve if I could.
But hold on, if we were the normal salesperson, they just told us they weren't interested. But yet now we've gone in and we've gone, hold on, there's always a deeper emotion, right? And then I'd follow up with like, but George, why would you change that? So why even going down again, right? And the thing is I can even say to that, so, but George, why is that important now though?
And I'm thinking, Ben, I'm going to be listening to this podcast more than one time to follow the because I'm noticing how thoughtful those questions are. And you're right, they do, and they're not threatening.
It's 100% conversational. And the thing is if you can't actually have a conversation with the person, yes, we have a question script outline. But the thing is you have to own the questions and own the tonality and own the pausing. So it's 100% conversation. Because what's interesting, if you sent me one of your recordings, right, which I hope you record your sales calls, right? The thing is we can actually analyze it and we can actually see when you go in and out of script. And what we see is that it impacts your authenticity. If your authenticity drops, my ability to trust you drops and becomes questionable in those moments. And that's when we can see people going in and out of their script. Does that make sense?
So you're saying that when people try to wing it, they do they sound less authentic?
100%. Yep.
Because they're probably nervous.
Yeah. So you're nervous, you got no structure, you got no logical pattern, and people can feel that. And the other part of that is winging it. The person who's winging it versus the person who has actually a outline of where they need to take people is always far more successful. Like we can actually put two salespeople side by side, the person who's going to wing it versus the one who's going to have the script. And I will guarantee a 5x conversion difference in the person who's got the script and got the process just because of the objective is clear, right? And the person who's winging it defaults into pressure tactics, defaults into the one of the worst things you can do is actually being collapsing on price. Oh, George, you know, I could probably talk my manager into getting a 25% discount if you sign up like before tomorrow because we've got a promotion going on. And you know what? I bet you I could probably get you an extra 5%. Would that like would signing up today or tomorrow be of better interest to you? And that's the assumptive close. The worst thing you can do is you never want to assume the sale. You actually want to assume the no. And like we actually can show that that's more persuasion because it has you telling me why you want to work with me. Therefore, you're selling you on working with me, not me selling you. Does that make sense?
Now that's a clever hack. Yes.
not just a pretty face, right? So like, I'll share what we call a committing question, right? So the committing question is when you're going through, we don't call it closing because closing's pressure. So it's all committing. Everything's committing to taking action, right? So I'd go, George, do you feel like this could be the answer for you?
That's possible. Yeah, I think so.
But why do you feel it is, though?
Well, the system looks simple and easy to follow. I don't have to spend a lot of time learning how to use it. And I'm impressed by the results.
You can automatically see there that you're telling me, you're coming towards me. I'm actually starting to take it away from you. Like, sales conversations are very much like dating, right? The problem is a lot of people just don't realize that they got no clue how to date.
I probably fall into that category. Not something I want to go through again.
Exactly. So the thing is, and that's one of the things we have to be aware of. Technology has changed a lot of things. And that's why I published the book, People Ignorant, right? Like, I called it People Ignorant because we've become ignorant to the fact of how to communicate with each other. We forgot how to read body language. We forgot how to have a conversation with each other. And now it's like, hey, that we've got this science that supports, like, how do I gain more influence? How do I gain more authority? Like, how do I do it in a way that's authentic and not this, like, beat my chest, like, bravado that turns a lot of people off? And you see all these people doing all these flashy things, but they don't realize that their audience isn't actually being attracted to that. Or you see all these people who are on getting TikTok famous, Insta famous, but they've got no business behind it. So you've got 1 million followers, but you're not making a dollar. Like, what? So you can captivate focus, but you can't lead it. Leading focus is far more important in today's world than captivating it. Because I can teach anyone how to captivate focus. It's how do I lead it to go to turn to into a purchase? How do I lead it to create an engagement?
What I'm hearing there, Ben, is leading focus sounds like it's more attracting versus the captivating, which is capturing.
Yeah, 100%.
And the capturing sounds dangerous, sounds offensive versus being, hey, you know, if you're interested in this, come with me. Or, doesn't that smell good? Do you want to sit down and eat? As yeah. opposed to, you got to eat this because it's got these vitamins in it.
Yeah, it's the free samples things in the shopping mall when you walk through, right? Or it's the cookies, bacon. You walk by, you go, I wasn't feeling like a cookie, but now that I smell that, like, damn. Like, so there's and it's the way that you have these conversations online because of what's happened in the last few years has forced a lot of people to have these conversations now using online channels. But yet a lot of people are struggling because they were able to get away with intimidation tactics, let's say, in person. And they didn't realize how much of that was actually dependent on causing them. Because let's face it, you can actually force people into a sale. But what happens over the next 72 hours? Buyer's remorse, refunds, chargebacks. But the salesperson is like, oh, I'm closing 20%. Yeah, but what's your refund rate? What's your customer success rate over 30 days? How long do they stay? Do they stay for 90 days? Like, you can 5X your sales conversions in a positive way if you actually are engaging them. And if I've engaged you and you're motivated yourself intrinsically, the chances of you becoming a customer remorse or like a chargeback are way lower. And you're committed to the process. And all I've done is changed how we have a conversation.
And what you said about intimidation, I can certainly see that much more so in a live setting, because there's the physical presence of a person, and a person can have a big personality and can be intimidating or can appear charming, and it's the charm and the intimidation that sells. It's not them offering you a solution.
Exactly. And they're never really looking for the problem or the real problem. Like, one of my mentors actually says to me, is like, what is the one problem I need to solve right now, right? And I actually have it above my webcam and it's in front of me every single day. Because the thing is most people don't realize they're trying to solve the wrong problem, right? And you might be looking for new solutions, right? Because you've got a budgetary requirement where you have to cut costs or you're about to laying off staff, but you haven't been able to say that to anybody. So the thing is like, I need to find that out, because if I don't actually probe for those real emotional reasons, and that's why we ask a lot of questions about, well, how does that impact you? How is this impacting you? And then I talk to those issues in my presentation. I'm not, we say to people, actually ditch the pitch, because when you're pitching, you're actually hurting yourself. And a lot of people in the sales presentations, like, they'll ask that, what keeps you awake at night? And they get straight into the pitch. And what we call the new model of sales, your pitch is actually less than 10% of any conversation.
And Ben, it's ironic that I was invited to a sales presentation yesterday, and the person started off by saying, well, this is going to take 30 minutes. Have you got that? And I said, okay. And then he put up and he said, here's my agenda. And the first item is about me. We hear you want to know about me, right? No, I don't care anything about you. And then we got a little bit into the conversation. Then he realized that he hadn't done his homework. And that was the end.
I'm like, what type of sales model is that? Like, the thing is the whole thing is that every conversation you're having with people now needs to be about them. They don't give, like, it's funny, these people who will get up and they'll do this presentation. Here's me. Here's our shiny corporate office. Here's, like, we've got this compound and blah, blah, blah. We want all, who gives a crap? You've just wasted 4 minutes of my life. And like, I'm trying to work out how to solve this problem, or I've got to get 10 grand in a new business, or I've got 3 employees that I might have to check. Like, that's my problem. That's top of mind. Or, you know what? Nowadays with the price of fuel, here in Florida, it's just gone over $4 $4.20 a gallon. Like, I was just talking to one of my buddies in California, $7 something in San Francisco right now. And he goes, what sucks for us is we've got a fleet of dual wheel trucks that they drive around. So he goes, we're feeling $7. So he goes, that's a pain point for him. That's what he cares about. Like, so the thing is a lot of these people, when they're doing their sales presentations, they haven't adapted for the change in our consumer behavior. And that's why a lot of companies are hurting, to be honest.
And what I also noticed as you went through those questions is that those type of questions, I believe, will make the buyer feel safe, because you're not forcing them into a corner and saying, I gotcha. Now you're going to buy.
100%. Yeah, you're the trusted authority. And remember, like, the whole line of thought about the consultative selling, right? Everyone wanted to be the doctor in the white coat. But what they missed was that the questions they were usually asking were logically driven. And they were kind of looking for those surface pains. But what does a doctor do? He'll go, well, does it hurt when you move it here? Does it hurt when you move it here? A doctor's not going into a 45-minute pitch. A doctor's not saying, well, I went to Harvard and then I went to Singapore University and then I went to this and then I drive the Rolex. I've got the Rolex on. Like, the doctor's never doing that. The thing is, the doctor's going to ask you more probing questions to find out, well, how is this really impacting you, George? Like, is this keeping you, are you losing sleep because of this? What does your sleep look like for the last 3 months? Like, what are your plans for the next 9 months? And the thing is, many salespeople, like, don't do that because they don't understand the science of persuasion. And that's what's becoming possible now because of what we call behavioral intelligence.
Ben, if people would like to know more about how you might help them, how they can maybe learn more about applying the science, the best place to reach you is at your website, and that is...
BehaviorSales.com. So BehaviorSales.com. You can spell it the American way or the English way. Either way, you will end up on the yellow brick road.
BehaviorSales.com. And you can find that link in the description below. Ben, in wrapping up, if you could offer a sales leader 1, 2, or 3 bits of advice, and maybe it's something you've already said, but they're going to go meet with their team for a sales meeting, and what might they be saying about, we're going to change the way we're selling, and here's what I want you to do?
Number one is start addressing personality. Understand personality and understand how to have personality-driven conversations to create the connection. Two is look at how you're using your sales recordings. A lot of people record calls, but never do anything with them. We can actually help a company create a winning conversation baseline that allows you to compare every conversation you're having against that to find out, well, was my tonality different? Was my questions different? That type of stuff, right? So we've got immense data you're not even using. So therefore, you're losing massive amounts of data. And three would be starting to look at how you're using persuasion. Are you using external or internal? And if you're still using external, I can promise you, your sales are being killed.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Ben Bressington, reminding you to be a problem solver, not a product pusher.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.